WMIS-FM, The River, 92.1, Black Duck, Bemidji.
I still can't even hardly believe my ears when you even tell me this.
Translator K237FJ, 95.3, Thief River Falls, and W300BP, 107.9, Grand Rapids.
Now this I love.
Northern Minnesota's rock station. It's time for the Tom Ceratori Show on the Beaver Radio Network.
That's McLaughlin shoots, scores! Kyle Lowe from the high slot took the pass on a backhand from Owen Cylinder. He beats Driscoll.
Every Wednesday night, get all the info you need to know about the next game.
Launch went ahead looking for Vaisanen. It was deflected by Northern Michigan. Vaisanen goes and tracks it down. He'll leave it now for Owen Cylinder. Back up top it comes. Brad Johnson with a shot. He scores! It was deflected out in front. Deflected, I believe, by Austin Jopy.
Get the insight from the man behind the bench. He's played here. He's coached here. He and Bob Peters are Beaver Hockey. The Tom Ceratori Show, live at the Tavern on the South Shore, on the radio home for Beaver Hockey since day one of the Division One era. We are the Beaver Radio Network.
Good evening and welcome to the Tavern on South Shore. Kelly Schultz with you here. No Brian Schultz, no Brian Bissonette, and no Tom Ceratori. The Beaver men on the road to Bowling Green as we speak. They actually just took off. I believe their plane was scheduled a couple hours ago. They ran a little late and they're off in headed to Bowling Green, Ohio. So we switch gears here and we are going to talk Beaver women's sports tonight, including Beaver women's hockey. Joining myself tonight, the head coach of the Beavers, Jim Scanlon, and the assistant, one of the two assistant coaches for the Beavers, Emma Terrace, a former player here. And first of all, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kelly. Thanks for having us.
Oh, you're very welcome. I know this has been a very long break for your team, and we've been keeping our fingers crossed that it wouldn't be any longer than this month. But let's go back to Minnesota State. Before the holiday break, your team ends up playing them. You win the first game and then tied them in the second night, lost the shootout. Mm-hmm. How good did it feel finally to get that win against them after the weekend prior against Wisconsin?
Well, every we've said before, every win in the league is huge, regardless of who you play. And certainly, there's it's a good rivalry we've had with Mankato. You know, we're John's done a great job since he's taken over there, and he's got a really really strong team. So they were on a 4-game win streak when we did play them, and so yeah, it was a fun game to win on Friday, and we played well Saturday. It was just a little disappointing. We were up 1-0. I think it was about 6.5 minutes left when they tied it. Had some great chances in the 3-on-3 overtime, and unfortunately we were unable to capitalize. So then you go to the shootout, and like I always tell the group, it's not as easy as it might appear, and there's a lot of pressure, and we choose those players for a reason. They all do very very well in our weekly shootouts, and unfortunately we were unable to score, and they got one. So, but all in all, it was a good weekend. It was a great way to finish the 2021 portion of our season, and the group had a well-deserved break.
It was a long break. What was the message to your team as they got ready for that Christmas break?
Just go out and enjoy it. Enjoy it. Just have time with family and friends, and just kick back and relax and recharge the batteries.
Do you require them to do much ice time? Do you hope that they do that on their own?
We don't require it. They're just about all of them took their gear with them. Everybody's different. Certainly a lot of the players from Minnesota that came from high school programs, they'll go back and they'll skate with their high school team. And I know Hannah took her gear with her back home. everybody's a little different. But they all came back. They all looked really really good when they got back. So that was encouraging.
Well, I know one of the things they did when they got back was a little holiday tournament. And I'm going to throw this question at Emma because I keep hearing all the other media folks asking about this holiday tournament. Emma, this goes way back, even before your time, doesn't it?
Yeah, it started a long time ago, that's for sure. But when I was a player, it was one thing that I always loved. With the big break, I was able to actually have it this year, which is always fun. But yeah, it was really good competition. The girls were competitive. They had fun with it. I joined. I lost in the championship game, but it was a lot of fun.
Okay, how many teams were there? How did the teams get picked?
So I just did a random team generator sort of thing. There were six teams. We did a round robin to start. I think we had about 15 games, 5 minutes long. And yes, Scanny was running the clock, and it was fun. Had a trophy at the end, of course. That's been, I don't even know when that started, to be honest. But yeah, had a trophy. It was fun.
Okay, I've heard about the trophy. It's what, duct taped cups, mm-hmm. Gatorade cups mm-hmm. together?
Yep.
Does it look kind of like the Stanley Cup, or is it different?
A little different. It just pretty much goes up in a triangle. But yeah, it's duct tape. We could definitely replace it and find something a little better, I think. But it works for now, that's for sure.
I mentioned on Tuesday Media Day that the group that won it, I heard Chloe say, we should write our names.
I know,
said,
I was
you
like,
should.
Sign it. Got to sign it.
Everybody put their name on it, and then that should just continue as...
I love that idea. I think that would be a great idea.
And I said, I'm sure you could go back, and the teams that won it would gladly say they won it for one thing and then get their names on it. Yeah,
yeah. You think there might be some teams out there that would be like, yeah, we won it, but really didn't.
Probably.
Emma, you were part of those 4 years going back when you played in that holiday tournament. Mm-hmm. How often did you win?
I don't even remember. We didn't sign the cup, so we don't know. But it was fun because sometimes we'll dress up too. It's kind of optional. If you want to dress up, you can. This year it was kind of more last minute when it was going to be. But I just remember, I think it was Summer's team. They were wearing red jerseys and they dressed up as Santa. So they had like these beards and everything. And so it's fun when people dress up, make it fun, and do all that kind of stuff.
Well, it's great team bonding. You know, it kind of breaks up the monotony of, okay, here we are, we're practicing, and then you get a chance to play against your teammates. And it's also good. I know Coach will agree. It's good for the players to get out there and actually play like competitively mm-hmm. rather than just doing the drills.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's one thing about anytime you do any kind of small area game, whether it's the competition goes way up. I mean, every player here is they're here for a reason, and part of it's being very, very competitive. So, yeah, you throw them into a situation like that where it's a game and there's a trophy on the line, it gets pretty heated.
All right, first half of the hockey season is in the books. You look back, not the record that I'm sure you were hoping to have, but what do you take from the first half of this schedule? Obviously, you've played everybody through very tough opponents, lots of ranked opponents, of course, here in our league, but what do you draw from that? What positives?
Well, just first of all, a tremendous amount of growth amongst our players and just the team as a whole. We're certainly a lot better now than we were when we started the year off, and one of our goals at the beginning of the year was to be a top four team, and that's still attainable, and that's what we talked about. We just have the 12 games remaining, which is that's 36 points, and we said, hey, let's it starts Friday at Duluth. We've got an opportunity against the team that's ahead of us. And that's what we're going to try to do. We want all of our individual players and our team to reach their full potential by the end of February. I mean, that's our goal. And there's a championship to be played for. Everybody's going to be in the playoffs this year, which is a positive. So, we've talked about that. That's we want to finish as high as we can. Obviously, if we can get home ice, that'd be tremendous. But even if not, we feel we've got a team that can go anywhere and beat anybody. And that's the message that we started with. And we said, along with that, you've got to embrace all the challenges that come with that. You've got to embrace the practices. You've got to embrace the grind. You've got to embrace the training. We've this group has been tremendous all year long about all the things we talk about, meeting all of our expectations. And we're looking forward to getting started. It's been a good 2 weeks. They're ready to play, and let's drop the puck Friday afternoon and get after it.
Take us through practices. I know there's three coaches, obviously you, Jim, head coach. What is your role in a typical practice day?
We'll talk about what we want to do as a practice. We have a theme each week, and You know, obviously we've got to work our special teams in there. That's, you know, Emma's running the power play. Shane does the penalty kill, so we make sure we, you know, find out from them how often they want to do it, whether it's twice a week, once a week. You know, obviously Mondays, typically once the season starts, Monday's kind of a skill day. Emma does a great job with just running individual skills. Tuesday and Wednesday are usually where you're gonna put a lot of work in, depending on who you're playing. And then you know, Thursday is a little bit more of a flow day, just getting ready to play the games on the weekend. So every practice, we practice with a purpose. There's a reason we do everything, and we challenge our players, attack each drill, attack each practice to try to get better. And this group's done a really nice job with that.
Emma, for you, working with special teams and coordinating with Shane, who handles the other side of the special teams, how much thought goes into deciding who gets to play on those special teams?
Definitely a lot. We have some very talented players, so you kind of know their role. If they're good with a big shot, they're going to be on the flank or up top. So you kind of have specific players that already establish those roles. But then with injuries or anything that happens, that can change. And so having people that are able to jump in those spots, we're very fortunate. We got a deep lineup, so we have a lot of very skilled players that we can just throw in, and they are successful, which is fun to see.
Well, we've seen a number of the younger players, newcomers, end up on those special teams, and those are huge shoes to fill on that side of the puck. Who's impressed you the most so far?
I've just loved Ella and Mac both, how they've, we kind of say they're the QB of the power play. So to have that confidence, you're the last one, they've done really well, and so it's been fun to watch them.
It has been fun to watch. Even on the defensive side, those five freshmen out of the seven. I know a lot of teams would go, wow, well, five freshmen, that doesn't say much. But your team has had some great defensive games where the freshmen have come up with some big plays, a lot of block shots. Coach,
absolutely. Yeah.
Where do you see this freshman class?
Yeah, they've all stepped in and done a really nice job. You know, Emma mentioned both Ella and Mac on the power play, but Taylor Larson on the penalty kill along with Kendra Fortin have been outstanding, and they're just fearless when it comes to blocking shots. Adrienne Vandalese is the other freshman that she's on the power play now, and certainly can penalty kill. So they've all, you know, as far as those defensemen, they've all grabbed really, really important roles. And then our forwards, Claire Vekic is really, really, it's just exciting to see how much better she's gotten and how much better she can get. I mean, she could be a big timer. And Alyssa Watkins has stepped in and just done a tremendous job as one of our last recruits. She's grabbed the top six role based on how she's played day in and day out and done a really nice job. And then Shelby Braylon from Red Lake Falls played at Thief River. Another one just plays with so much grit. She's no fun to play against, but that's why
nope.
She's playing. That's why she's playing, because she plays hard. She's gritty. You know, they've all just done a really nice job stepping in the best women's league in all of college hockey to come right in as freshmen and play. They've done a nice job.
Absolutely, and I know a lot of people have asked me, and I hate to ask this question because I tell people this isn't really a growing, like a rebuilding season, but everybody looks at the roster and says there's a really bottom heavy, lots of sophomores, lots of freshmen. Do you get people asking you if it's a rebuilding year?
No, you know, every year is different. I mean, we're going to start the year the same. You know, we want to win championships, and that's our goal. And we always say when there's a large senior class graduates, we always have the current sophomores, freshmen, juniors say, take a look around. There's a lot of opportunities, and so what you do between now and next year, you know, is going to go a long way to grabbing. And then we remind them there's going to be good players coming in. I mean, that's our job. We're going to try to bring in the best players we can. So I think everybody knows that there's going to be good players that are going to be walking into the locker room as freshmen. And, you know, the biggest thing for us is obviously to bring those group together. That's where Emma's just been outstanding. Just, you know, she's just done a tremendous job of really, it's our bus. We all want everybody on the bus with the same ideas and the same goals. And she's done a tremendous job of really creating that culture with this year's team. And it's been a lot of fun.
Jim Scanlon, head coach of the BSU Beaver women's hockey team, along with assistant coach Emma Terrace, who is not far removed from actual playing days. I know you're going to be playing some hockey tonight, actually, when you leave here. But, Emma, for you as a not-so-long-removed Bemidji State women's hockey player, how much do you think your youth helps in your connection with the players on this team?
It definitely helps. I think the biggest thing just as a coach in general is relationships. So it doesn't matter your age or anything. That's the most important thing. So as long as you're connecting with them, helps with my age. I played with a few of them still with the super seniors now, but fortunate with that.
And Emma, I know one of the things that was mentioned at Media Day was that you still have it. You could still go out there.
Who said that?
I think, was it Christian or Chaz, one of the two,
nice.
Had asked Kayla Santel and Paige Anderson, who are our guests during Media Day, and both of them said, yeah, Emma could still play. We're trying to get you your fifth year, you know, the COVID year, but I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think so, but I love it.
Yeah, just two quick things. First of all, you go back to that connection. She does an outstanding job of that in terms of connecting with our current team. And, you know, I'm just really, really blessed to have her on staff, because that, to me, is the most important thing, that relationship that she's built with all of our players. And, you know, they all just trust her and love her to death, and that's huge. That's huge. And then as far as she has, yeah, she's won the shootout competition a couple times. She still has her backhand toe drag that she beat Maddie Rooney on in her playing days.
Yeah,
that's something to brag about.
She still pulls out. Yeah,
you know, she's an Olympian.
She won it. She won the Olympics in a shootout.
Right.
And,
yeah.
Emma made her look. I shouldn't use the word, but she did the roll reverse toe drag and backhand and celebrated right in front of their bench, which was the all-time best.
That was the best. I do remember that. And Kayla Santel said she's trying to work on that same move. And
yeah, we've been practicing it. She's been training. She'll be like, Emma, watch this. I'm like, pretty good.
It's fun to see the younger players emulate a former player, obviously. Emma, you had such great experiences before coming back to coach over in Europe, and the game over there is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
What did you see over there, and how much of that did you bring in, you know, with that knowledge when you started coaching here?
Well, obviously going over there, everything's so foreign, so you're so comfortable, especially in college when you're going through the years, when you become a senior, you're so comfortable in where you're at. So going over there was awesome. It opened my eyes a lot. You sit back a little bit more and observe, and I'm someone that's more jumping up and speaking up usually. So that was fun. It was fun meeting new people. They play the game a little bit different. I was able to use a little bit more of my skill over there. So I just absorbed everything I could and it just came back. And I think it just helped me as an all-around human being to better myself when I went.
Well, it's fun to have you on the coaching staff for sure.
Thank you.
Of course, you had to fill some big shoes when Amber Frickland
big shoes.
Decided to leave the coaching world and get more into the academic world. So it's nice having you around still.
Thank you. She's been awesome. She's been a mentor for me. And even before when I wanted to get into coaching, all through college and stuff, she helped me get involved with the high performance stuff. And she's always been someone that's been a soundboard for me. And so it's a big weekend coming up for her soon, Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
She's been phenomenal as an athlete, person, all of the above.
Great human being. Again, we're visiting with Jim Scanlon, head coach of the BSU Beaver women's hockey team, and assistant coach Emma Terrace, as they get ready to take on the University of Minnesota Duluth Bulldogs this weekend. Second meeting between these two teams. We will take a break and come back, and we'll come back and talk about those Bulldogs. Should be a great battle this weekend. You're listening to the Coach's Huddle and the Tom Sertori Show. No Tom tonight, right here on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
Hi, Dan the Chevy Man. Oops, I mean Dan the GM Man here. That's right, we have Buick, GMC, along with the full Chevrolet lineup. As we are finally coming out of the pandemic, now is the time to come see the Donlinger difference. We have a lot of new and pre-owned vehicles arriving daily. You are sure to find the vehicle you want. Also, don't forget about our excellent customer service, full body shop, and dependable parts and service departments. For all your automotive needs, remember Donlinger GM in Bemidji. Chevy, find new roads.
What's up, y'all? This is Chase Rice, hanging outdoors with an ice-cold Mountain Dew. You know, it's easy to tell who really loves the outdoors. One thing, there's a rack on your car and a hitch on the back of your truck. There's a garage full of toys from wakeboards to dirt bikes. And there's a cooler full of Mountain Dew, always at the ready. Because when it's time to get out and do, you know, hit the lake or the deer stand, a cooler of Mountain Dew, that's as important a piece of outdoor gear as your four-wheeler or your fishing rod. Mountain Dew. Do the dew.
Ah, the taco. Is there anything more delightfully simple and delicious? At Taco John's, we think not. There's a reason more people choose our crispy beef tacos. That's because we cook each crispy shell fresh in-house every day, then fill it with our signature 100% American beef, mild sauce, lettuce, and cheese. Five classic ingredients. Taco John's loves tacos so much, we not only put it in our name, we gave it a special day. Taco Tuesday. Get seasoned crispy beef tacos for just 99 cents each every Taco Tuesday at Taco John's. Bigger, bolder, better.
Drive through and pick up only at Taco John's.
Experience light when and where you want it with Hunter Douglas window treatments from Sterling Carpet One. Our PowerView system lets you move your shades according to schedules you set, day or night, whether you're home or away. Available in colors and fabrics to suit your style. Hunter Douglas, live effortlessly.
You dream, we design. Sterling Carpet One.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS FM, The River.
Welcome back to the Tavern on South Shore for our Coach's Huddle, and what normally is our Tom Ceratori show this hour is now the Women's Hockey Hour, I'm going to call it. Don't tell Tom. Head Coach Jim Scanlon with us. Assistant Coach Emma Terrace as we talk BSU Beaver Women's Hockey here on the Beaver Radio Network, and a big series coming up this weekend. Of course, we were keeping our fingers crossed, haven't heard anything bad, positive thoughts here, as Duluth had to have their series last weekend canceled, postponed due to COVID. They were scheduled to play St. Cloud State, and it was Duluth that had the issues.
Correct. But we got word this morning that everything's a go for Friday, Saturday, so that was encouraging.
That's definitely good news. I know I mentioned it earlier, you didn't want a five-week hiatus.
No.
Got to get back into playing. And, of course, I know they're excited to get back on the ice as well. Had a chance to listen to part of their media day coverage with Maura Krall. And, man, they are stacked with a lot of talent. I know they just named Ashton Bell to the Canadian national team for the Olympics.
That's exciting. You know, congratulations.
It's very exciting for her.
She was a teammate of Missy Hunt's for the Westman Wildcats, and originally committed to North Dakota. Duluth made out really nice when North Dakota decided to drop their programs. They picked up both Gabby Hughes and Ashton Bell, and they're two pretty good players. Mm-hmm. But yeah, congratulations to Ashton. That's just a tremendous honor for her to be representing her country and playing for the Canadian Olympic team.
Well, that's one player you know you won't have to face this weekend.
Well, she's been gone all year. You know, she was centralized, but believe me, they're an outstanding team. Their top line is as good as any line in the country. I mean that. They got Elizabeth Jaguar, the transfer from Clarkson, Gabby Hughes, and Annie Klein. They're just it's a very very productive line. They're all very very talented, but they've got three other lines that they'll throw out that are all talented. They've got big solid skilled defenseman, and they've got a goalie that'll be playing on the Swedish national team in the Olympic Games. So I was kind of hoping maybe they would centralize her.
Right? No, but such luck.
Yeah, but no, they're just, again, really, really a real solid team, and it'll be a great challenge for us.
Take us back to that last series. I know that first game, 9-0 loss here against Duluth, and then the next night totally played a much better hockey game, still lost 4-1. Take us back then and
totally forgot about that.
Yeah, I know. We're trying not to remember it, but
they came in and just they brought their A game and we didn't. And again, that's how we just a lot of film work, a lot of teaching film, just to you know, you a lot of different things. I know we gave up a lot of breakaways. They were getting people behind us, and you know, but the group themselves, they came and said, you know what, we did not play to our identity, and they as a group, they talked about that, and that we came out on Saturday and played a much better game. And it was, I think it was 3-1. They got an empty netter, I believe, late. And, you know, we had a really, really strong first period and a really, really strong third period. There was a couple of goals we gave up, just not getting sticks, just, you know, little things like that. And it was a completely different game. So, but they're a team that if you give them time and space, you make mistakes, they're going to capitalize on it. And they showed that to us that first night.
Well, things weren't easy that first half of the season. Before that, you had played Wisconsin and Minnesota, Clarkson and Ohio State, all ranked in the top five. I know Clarkson was receiving votes, and it's just tough when you have to go from weekend to weekend and not getting those wins that your team wants. Mm-hmm. They're talented enough to get, but then I loved how they were resilient in that weekend afterwards and at Lindenwood. They finally get that win, and it was like, finally, things are moving on the upside, and it was nice to see just the message, even amongst the players. I heard them talking, and I know Kerrigan Dowie was one of them, and that says, hey, and she wasn't even playing. She said, feels good to win, doesn't it? Let's remember how this feels.
Oh, absolutely. It's addictive, and that's, you know, as a young athlete, you're out there competing as hard as you can, and when you're not having success, that could be a challenge. And that's, you know, that's our job, is to just continue to keep them upbeat, and we certainly have to have that same attitude. You know, you got to remain positive, and this group is resilient, and that's why it's really looking forward to the second half, because I think we, the pieces are there. We could do something pretty special, because all of our players, you know, all the freshmen we talked about earlier, they're not freshmen anymore. They've got 20 games under their belt, a lot of them, and it's going to be fun to watch them. As this, it's not a half, because it's just the 12 games, but to watch them, see where they can bring their game these last 12, and then going into the playoffs.
Well, your team has had some great games at Duluth. I know that was one of the topics in that presser today for Duluth, was Bemidji State's always had their number. Emma, you remember back even when you were playing some really good hockey games against Duluth. How much of that do you share with this current team, of your experience against the Bulldogs?
It's just a fun rivalry, so I think all of us know, even just as coaches, like, it's fun to play there. I think we're all ready, and we get hyped up, so I think that just goes into the week, too, as well. But I think all the girls know, too. I've talked to, like, Kerrigan Dowie, too. She was talking about some of her favorite memories playing there as well, too. So they know. It's just kind of a series that you get hyped up for pretty easily.
It's a great rivalry. I know... We used to have a rivalry with North Dakota. They folded, and Minnesota Duluth has always been kind of one of those teams that still.
Mm-hmm.
But some great games, some great postseason games. What is it going to take to beat a team like Duluth this weekend, do you think?
I think the biggest thing is just capitalizing. That's for sure. We got to score goals. We got to frustrate them. We got to be in front. But then also, too, we got to take care of the little things on our end, and I think we're ready for that.
That's been the message, I think, every time I've asked one of the players during media day, take care of the little things.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly does that mean?
All sorts of things. Picking up sticks, stick on puck, coming back through the middle, whatever it is. We just kind of have, that's part of our identity and what we established this year, is we got to take care of the little things day in and day out. And so that's kind of been our focus, and the girls, especially after that first game against them, that first series, we did not do the little things there. So that was cool that they noticed it, and they came back the next day doing those things, because you can see turnaround, played better, didn't get the win, but we definitely played better.
Coach, for you, you look at the big picture. You go into a weekend like this, you need the points. What's one of the things about Duluth that you need to concentrate on in order to get a win? I mean, because obviously we know that they've got a really good top line. They've got great goaltending. Is there something specific that you concentrate throughout the week of practice?
Well, you know, especially, you know, we talked about special teams earlier. That's going to be a key, because their power play is outstanding. They're close to 30%, I think. They're top four in the league. On the other hand, their penalty kill has not been very good. So that's an area where, you know, if we can come out on top in the special teams battle, that's going to go a long way to the how much success we can have in the game. So, but again, it's we can talk a lot about what they've got and their personnel, but for us, it's really about how we have to play, and that's what we're focused on. We got to come out, play hard, play fast. We got a group that can get up and down the ice. And if we're playing with pace, and then when we talk about the little things, that's we do that, then we'll be right there.
As you prepare for a trip during these crazy times, again, here we are back with all the COVID nonsense. What goes into planning a weekend trip when you know that there's these challenges that have happened to other teams that have had to postpone? Do you change a little bit of how you go out to eat, what you do, anything like that? No?
Well, not at this point. Not, we're pretty, as a group, just about completely, everybody has their vaccination. Mm-hmm. Almost everybody has their booster, which is really, really helps. Mm-hmm. Just in terms of testing, and then if something happens, if there's a close contact. But it's one of those things where obviously we're gonna be in a hotel. We're gonna have our room that we're having our meals in, which is gonna be good. But again, you just got to be smart, wear your masks, and at the same time though, if we get a chance to go out, we want to do that. We're just gonna be in an environment that's where we're just with our group.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Your team has won against Duluth 22 times. And I think I have seen all 22 times, I believe, because it wasn't that far back. I want to say 2010. I don't have it in front of me, but how has Bemidji State women's hockey been able to kind of tilt things in more into your favor against a team like Duluth over the years with all the history that they've got behind them?
Well, I think we alluded to it earlier about just the rivalry, their proximity. And then we since I've been here, we've played them, I believe, five times in the playoffs. And so that just, when you do that, that's just going to beat the rivalry, it's going to make that rivalry that much more intense. And then we played them in a Hall of Fame game one year. One, they're an outstanding program, and obviously going back to Shannon Miller days, they were the program. They were multiple national championships, and they were obviously a program I think everybody got up for, and I can only go back to the when I started. It's just always been a really intense series, and I think we've always enjoyed playing them, and because of that, We've had some success. I'm not gonna say it's not like we've owned them at all, but we've had some really, really tremendous games, and we've had some big wins against them.
They've always been my favorite road trip, favorite team to watch you guys play, because they have been games where you just never know what's gonna happen. Mm-hmm. Four overtimes. I know that one was talked about too. For you, Emma, do you have a favorite game against the Bulldogs?
Definitely when we won in overtime. Toogie with the game winner. Hannah tied it up. That was a really fun one, to say the least. But even thinking back to my Duluth days, they kind of all blend too. But there was some games that it's like a 1-0. There's a 2-0 going one day. And it was just, you never know what to expect. And so there's always just high compete. But they're just some good games.
They're fun to watch.
Yeah, Emma was on both teams that won the playoff series over there. Mm-hmm. And both of them went three games.
Mm-hmm. That was fun. I do remember that.
And there's something just about a game three, too, that brings the level up even more.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We'll take a quick break, come back. I'm going to shift this to something more fun when we return. It is BSU Beaver Women's Hockey. Head coach Jim Scanlon and the assistant coach Emma Terrace here as we are from the Tavern on South Shore Coaches Huddle on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS FM, The River.
Eating fit doesn't mean food has to be boring. After your workout, head to the Green Mill for their Eating Fit menu and try tasty entrees like chicken sun-dried tomato pizza with extra thin crust and a zesty lineup of toppings. The Chili Lime Chicken Bowl is packed with flavorful ingredients, including roasted jalapenos and chipotle Tabasco. Or have a chicken stir-fry salad with red peppers, red onions, mushrooms, and more in teriyaki sauce. The Eating Fit menu for a limited time now at the Green Mill in Bemidji. Pizza, pasta, beer, and wings. We'll see you at the Mill.
Start the new year with a big deal on fiber optic fast internet service with the Gig Deal from Paul Bunyan Communications. Right now, all new GigaZone customers can get our gigabit internet speed and GigaZone Blast Wi-Fi Max for only $60 a month for the first 12 months. You save $33 a month and get the ultimate internet experience for your home and family. Get the Gig Deal from Paul Bunyan Communications. Service availability depends upon location. Some restrictions may apply.
Think we're due for a good cold winter? Get the convenience of a remote start now at Detail Plus. Just the touch of a button with a remote car starter from Detail Plus. Call 444-7587 to schedule your installation today. Need glass repair? They can do that too from Chandler's Auto Glass. They work with all insurance companies and take care of that pesky paperwork. With any windshield replacement, you receive a free mini car detail. Visit online, detailplusbemidji.com, or call 444-PLUS.
You've trained for this all year. Endless hours of cardio, conditioning, and weights. And now you are ready. Ready to trek back to your seat from the concession stand. Through the lines, lost fans, and that mascot who wants you to do a little dancey dance. All without spilling a drop of your ice cold Bud Light. Welcome back to football, sports fans.
Farming requires well-built equipment. Kubota equipment that's proven for over a century. Tractors that are adaptable and versatile. Hay tools backed by a two-year warranty. Sidekick and RTV utility vehicles where durability and functionality meet speed. Productive wheeled and track skid steers for the most demanding projects. To see the full line of quality Kubota equipment, visit Acme Tools, Highways 2 and 71 North Bemidji, and ask for a free demo.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS FM, The River.
Welcome back to the Coach's Huddle here at the Tavern on South Shore. Kelly Schultz, along with the head coach of the BSU Beaver women's hockey team, Jim Scanlon, and assistant coach Emma Terrace. And we're going to talk something fun. What did everybody do for the holidays?
I was able to spend some time with family, which was nice. I got to see my side and then Jake's side as well.
And, of course, Emma, your mom and dad, very involved in Beaver hockey as fans, family. And how have they been doing?
They've been doing great. They, I think, are both going to come to Duluth. They love coming up there for that series, too, so they should be there. But they love supporting. Yeah, they love it.
That's awesome. They still have the RV, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Would never get rid of that.
And we'll get a chance to see that hopefully when the Beavers play back here soon enough, right? Hopefully.
Maybe. They use it start of the year a lot. They had a ton of tailgates at the beginning of the year when it was still nice weather. But it gets a little too cold.
Gotcha.
It's not the ideal temperature to tailgate in.
Gotcha. And Jim, what did you guys do for the holidays?
Hung out here in Bemidji. Spent time with family and kind of like the players, just kind of recharge the batteries, relax a little bit. There's obviously, for us, because we're not playing a lot of high school games, so there's a lot of recruiting that goes on. So we kind of took advantage of that right up till just before Christmas Eve, and then right after Christmas, back down to cities for tournaments. There's a lot of hockey to watch. So, but definitely spent some time with family. It was good.
Got to see all your kids?
No, Jacqueline is up in Wasilla, Alaska, so she did not make it down, but Joe's home, and of course Bree and Ben are living with us right now. So they went down to Ben's mom and dad's for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. So
awesome! So everybody's recharged and ready to go.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
I certainly am as well. You mentioned recruiting. There's three coaches. How do you guys determine who goes where for recruiting?
Well, it's still a bit of a challenge because of the current health situation. It's a lot tougher to get into Canada. There's quite a bit of the early year where we couldn't. And so there's a lot of live stream hockey that you're watching. We have Instat, so we're using that quite a bit. So, but all of us will get out. Em and I have made trips together. We did get up to Winnipeg to watch some hockey. We were down in the cities. We met up and went over to Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, to watch some hockey. And then last night we ran up to Roseville to watch some hockey.
Okay.
So. And Shane he was down. He's done a lot in the past where he'll go to Canada. He'll go to different showcases. Again, it's just been a little tougher in the last 2 years just because of the situation to do that. So all of us will get out in the summertime at the different showcases. Emma was out in Boston this summer. Shane was in Vermont. So it's definitely a team effort.
That's awesome. And a great team at that. So, well, coaches, I will see you on a bus tomorrow as we get ready for Duluth. I'm excited to get back.
Looking forward to it, Kelly. Absolutely.
Cannot wait. I cannot wait to see some good hockey this weekend. So, again, the Beavers take
and
on.
And it's good to have you back because I know you were off to Florida calling games down there. But good to have you back. Good to have you back with us. So
I don't want to miss this. Absolutely don't want to miss this trip because this is one of my favorite series. So we'll hopefully come home with 6 points. Don't tell Duluth I said that.
Thanks, Kelly.
Head coach Jim Scanlon and assistant coach Emma Terrace joining us here as the Beavers get ready to take on the Bulldogs this weekend. You can catch all of the action on 94.3 The Legends. 2:30 Budweiser pregame show both Friday and Saturday, 3:01 with the face-off on the Beaver Radio Network. Thanks again, coaches. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks, Kelly.
We take a break here. We come back, and we are going to shift gears to BSU Beaver Women's Indoor Track and Field with head coach Kevin Keene when we come back right here on the Beaver Radio Network from the Tavern on South Shore.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
Got health coverage on your mind? We can help. I'm Alan Zutz with Thrivent Financial, and we've got UCare, Medicare, and individual and family plans for every budget and need. And now is the right time to enroll for next year. Call us to find out why UCare plans offer you more, including doctor choice and extras you want. Call Alan Zutz or Rice Miller at 444-0202. That's 444-0202.
The key to success is a solid game plan and commitment to the fundamentals. Otter Tail Power Company recognizes Bemidji State University men's and women's athletics for teamwork and dedication throughout the season and wishes you the best as you take it to the next level. Otter Tail Power Company encourages you to keep the energy going, Beavers. Best wishes for a memorable season of Bemidji State University sports. Go Beavers!
At Jimmy John's, we don't make sandwiches. We make the sandwich of sandwiches. We use fresh veggies because we don't hate salads. We just feel bad for them. We make our sandwiches exactly how you want because you're the one who's eating it. And we bake bread all day, every day because stale bread isn't bread. It's croutons. Sandwich history is written by the victors. Good thing we have legible handwriting. Jimmy John's, the sandwich of sandwiches. Order pickup or delivery on the app.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog, because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment, made to chill.
2021 Coors Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to our coaches' huddle here at the Tavern on South Shore. If you haven't been out here, you should stop on by. They got I think the best buffalo wings in town. I'm kind of partial. So, Kelly Schultz with you tonight. AP Harold, our Beaver basketball extraordinaire announcer, and the head coach of the BSU Beaver women's track and field, cross country, indoor, outdoor track and field. Kevin Keene joins us here today.
Hello, good evening. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for joining us tonight. The Beaver track and field team has seen a lot of success, thanks to you.
The athletes try real hard, and the coaches do a decent job, I'd say.
Well, we were just talking to the Beaver women's hockey staff about recruiting, and you put a lot of work into bringing in some of the best athletes. You just signed a whole slew to national letters of intent, and I'm looking through the list. Even one of them is going to be a women's basketball player here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, we try to work with the other coaches in the women's program as well throughout the athletics department. Great athletes are an opportunity to share with other sports, and luckily for us, between cross country in the fall, indoor track, and then outdoor track, sometimes we can make the seasons all line up, and whichever sport they're more naturally gifted at, if that's where they tend, that's okay. But we try to share and play nice, as they say.
Well, these athletes are from all over the place, first and foremost. I look at some of them, and I'm like, how do you get them to come to northern Minnesota when it's minus 30?
Yeah, that is an interesting concept. I think of the concept of Bemidji State as just being an opportunity like anything else. We got the small class size. We have incredible facilities. Certainly there's no outdoor track on campus, but it's 70 and sunny every day indoors. So that's really all we need with the turf room there. We have the Fred Baker Training Center inside of the John Glass Arena. That gives us a wonderful opportunity to kind of take the shoes off at time and make sure we're getting training, develop the soft tissues, that sort of thing. And the indoor track's everything we need. Bemidji State, we're selling an opportunity, and that's why people come here and they end up being pretty happy, because they fall not in love, but they fall into what we're trying to do. They fall right in place, and it works out.
Coach, when you look at team sports, you might say in basketball somebody needs to develop their three-point shot at the college level. Yep. In an individual sport, which track and field largely is, a team of individuals, let's take 400-meter dash or run. How many seconds do you want a lady to improve upon coming in from high school to when she gets out of here? What's a reasonable cut down on that, and what's exceptional?
Yeah, I think the focus would be, so if they're a track-only kid, if they're not doing cross-country, then we have all fall. We have roughly 4 months to develop them. And so I would say if we can go from your high school outdoor performance, if we can get that kind of a time set up during their indoor track and field season, that's a match, because the indoor track, it's harder to run those times than you would outdoor, because of the turns. It's just radius and geometry and such and that sort of thing. So we try to get your outdoor PR from the year before, run it indoors, and then try to drop that outdoors. So I would say if we could get 1 second per year, most athletes would be happy with that. But if we can get more, we certainly will.
In your sport, which is run so much by a clock in so many of the events, diet and sleep, probably in the last 25 years, have been so much emphasis put on that. How important is that, but how can you avoid getting just too caught up in all that stuff as well, balancing it?
I mean, the balance is an easy way to do it. We look at it when we bring our student-athletes, we try to have them buy into, we need you for about 2, maybe 3 hours a day, and those other hours are for you. Within that, we'll help guide them. We can help with diet options, but we're not going to force anybody to eat the way they need to eat. That's kind of something that these young adults are going to fall into and learn as they go. We're certain there for guidance. And then sleeping, it is very, very important. I teach in the physical education department here, and it is important. If you can get those 8 hours minimum every day, you'll be just a better version of yourself. And so we try to preach that. If we are going to preach something, sleep is super important. But ultimately, these young adults are going to find a lifestyle that fits them, and we're here to kind of help put up those bandwidths, give them an area to live within.
Well, and not only that, but they're also students and athletes. So then they've got classes to deal with.
That's right.
How do you coordinate with your athletes with their class schedules and their practice schedules?
If we can, we'll have them leave a certain gap time, you know, roughly 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock open, and we'll fit in their practices within there. Right now we're going anywhere between 2 and 3 o'clock, depending what athlete you are, which event coach you work with. You'll start then, and then we'll finish up by 5 o'clock, and we try to go into the weight room from roughly 5 to 5:30 maybe. And that's, we'll be in the weight room about 4 days a week. So the academic schedule, certainly if they're a junior, senior, and they have a class they just have to take, well, then that's just how it is, and we'll work around that schedule. The one unique thing about track and field is certainly it is an individual playing in amongst a team sport. So if you have to get your work done, so be it. Meet with your event coach, get it done. You know, we don't have to sit around like other sports do and analyze film of other teams. I kind of make the joke, we only play offense, so we just plan for what we're doing, and we'll leave the defense to someone else. We'll just try to do the best we can.
Well, you've got yourself and four other coaches.
That's right.
Three of which are first season coaches.
Pretty incredible, yeah.
Tell us, well, first of all, Ben Baird has been with the program for 13 seasons.
Way longer than I've been here. That's absolutely right.
You've been here for 7. Jordan Fisk, Mike, is it Knott?
Mike Knott, yep.
And Jared Williams, all first.
Gerard, yeah.
Gerard, is that Gerard?
He's here.
He is here.
We
Hi,
might
Gerard.
Get him on the radio later. We'll see.
So you've got three new first-season coaches. What That's all right. do they bring to the table?
Yeah, so one of the big things about track and field is I do say that the event coaches sort of become mini head coaches. You know, if it was the schooling concept, you have the principal, but we all know that maybe the assistant principals do a lot of the nitty-gritty work there too. So my support staff, they're just as important as I am, if not more important. They handle all their various event groups. Coach Williams, you know, we call him by Coach Fat, his nickname. Coach Fat works with most of the sprinters and works with the relay athletes. That's basically our largest group right now this year, just how it kind of worked. We've tried to really focus on bringing the 4x4 relay. We're working to get them to a national championship, maybe win a conference championship there. We have some strong athletes coming in from last year, and we're going to try to – we added a really strong group to that. And then Coach Fisk, Jordan Fisk, was a decathlete, pole vaulter at University of North Dakota. He was living in town. He's working another job, but he really helps us give that
wow.
event work.
You just had a decathlete, just happened to be living in town.
Yeah, I was
that
living in town.
Out.
I met him through people that I used wow. to work at a gym, or I went to the gym, and I knew people and started getting around, and I headhunted. I went for him, and I gave him this opportunity, and he's a young coach. He's passionate. I traditionally had worked with all the jumpers, including pole vault, but it is such a unique acrobatic event. I think it's the most technical event there is in track and field, so we need that attention to detail.
Yeah, unless Sergei Bubka was living in town, that's the next well, best thing, right?
Yeah, if he was around, we would ask him to help as well, but, you know, he'd have to pass through Jordan in this case.
Yeah, and the language barrier. You know.
Might, something like that. Yeah. And then, yeah, Coach Mike Knott had also, he'd been living in town for the last 18 or so years. He helps work at the House of Prayer here in town, so he's a pastor, and he was a athlete at the largest level. He was a runner for the University of Oklahoma.
Wow.
He worked his
wow.
way up to be the captain of that program through hard work, determination, grit, passion, all of that, and he's a real motivator for our student athletes. So it's pretty neat having the opportunity to bring in these event coaches alongside myself and Coach Ben Baird, who's been here, as I said, longer than myself.
Well, you mentioned the other two being from Oklahoma
yep.
and North Dakota, right?
North Dakota, yeah.
Well, Coach Williams is from Clemson.
That's correct, yeah.
Like, these are big schools we're talking about.
They came from big schools. They got some big personality, and they've got some big talent, too. That's the important part. That's right.
How do you do that? I mean, I'm kind of in awe because I've seen you, the athletes you've brought in here, Kevin, and you've had athletes from Florida, from Jamaica, from wherever. And now you get coaches coming in from big schools.
Yep.
How do you get them to come here to Bemidji?
Again, I would go back to maybe the first thing we spoke about. Bemidji State is an opportunity just like anything else. Mm-hmm. You know, with recruiting, maybe there is the art of the sale, but ultimately we're just trying to give people what they need. If they're not going to find it here, so be it. But I think Bemidji State has enough to offer that if you're willing to work hard, we can get it done here. And that's what these coaches are coming in for, the opportunity to say, we've got the athletes and the facilities. Let's go get it done.
And, Coach, in your sport, I remember in the last Olympics, there was a guy, Division III swimmer from Emory, who went to the Olympics. If you can put up a number in an individual sport,
yeah,
it doesn't matter Division 1, 2, or 3 in AIA, yep. The number is the number. You're playing the clock in all of these things, right?
Absolutely, yeah. We have athletes from the junior college level or community college level. You could get a transfer athlete from a Division 3 national championship or a Division 1 national championship. It wouldn't matter. Track and field and cross country in that note is about the performance and getting that relationship developed with your coaching staff and within the other athletes, I'm saying from their perspective. You got to work hard, and you have to have the right things around you and that right infrastructure, and the time can just keep dropping like a swimming. Track and field, cross country, all the field events are about small performances, little battles every day, learning how to turn sporadic things into more normalcy throughout your training.
Coach, we love our history in team sports. You know, basketball invented in 1891, baseball coming out of rounders, football, rugby, and old world football. Your sport, though, track and field.
The original sport.
Absolutely. You know, it's 800 B.C., and I say, I can race you to that rock and back quicker. Okay?
I'm pretty sure, yeah, I teach about this as well in our sport event management course. A lot of times athletes at the time, they were participants. It could have been your military getting together, doing war games. You were just trying to look for something to compete against.
Right.
And then it became, you know, who can throw the spear farther. It just became a game.
Last man back loses his head or something, like in 600 B.C. of the Spartans.
Lucky for us, it just means they're the last one to the water fountain.
Exactly. You know? Right. The stakes not quite as high anymore. It's good.
Yeah, right. The hammer throw nowadays doesn't hurt somebody when you're throwing it.
And they've changed some of the implements over the years, the last 100 or so years, you know, including javelin, to so that they don't throw as far, because the stadiums were only built for a certain standard of athlete. They got access to training and technology, and
you don't want to kill the guy in the fourth row.
You don't want to put the javelin up into the stadium, so they had to change implements along the way. Javelin's a good example of that, as the athletes get better.
Coach, is that in your sport something like, you know, widening the widening the 3 second lane in basketball? You have to adjust to the modern era, bigger, faster, stronger.
Yeah, that's a lot. What's going on right there? Yeah. The technology of the implement specifically, and the technology that the athletes have access to, the slow motion capturing, that sort of thing. And just the art of kinesiology, learning how the body works, is important.
You've seen, over the course of your 7 years here at Bemidji State, some great field athletes. Zoe Christensen, to name
She's
one.
She's a big name. Absolutely.
First of all, have you kept in touch with her since she graduated?
You know, not as much. Maybe a text here or there. I know she's been back through Bemidji throughout the summer and that sort of thing. A lot of times the athletes have a very strong connection with their teammates, their housemates, that sort of thing. We're looking really forward, just kind of on that note, we're looking forward to seeing a lot of the previous athletes coming up next weekend with Coach Hogan going into the Hall of Fame here at Bemidji State, as well as there was a men's program going in from back in the day when they won the conference championship, as well as female athletes along the way. So that is going to be fun. We'll have our alumni homecoming. We can call it the alumni championship if you like. Every few years you go for it. And so those athletes will be back, and we'll get to see a lot of people. I'm not sure exactly if Zoe will be back around, but she is living the good life now. She's graduated, has the Bemidji degree, and she's moving on, which is great.
That's awesome. How many of your former athletes do you keep in touch with?
I would say I don't keep a running number. It's growing every year, because as I stay here longer, there's more athletes that come back out. A few wedding invitations here and there are always nice to be able to see them. That's in the raw attitude. You can get out there and see what they're like post Bemidji State. But I am still relatively a young coach, as they say, and so that list will keep growing.
That hair has not dyed. That's your natural color, right?
Yeah, that's exactly.
Okay. No gray.
No gray yet.
No gray yet. Coach Keene with us talking BSU Beaver women's indoor track and field. Of course, it's the indoor season right now. Tell us what we can expect to see, who we can expect to see in the news.
Yeah, that's right. So we're deciding to kind of get some training going right here after winter break. We're not going to compete immediately. We want to make sure athletes are prepared structurally, you know, their physical body and their mentalities. And then, of course, their academics as well. So we'll be doing the alumni meet next weekend, sort of a time trial for our athletes to get out there and shake the rust off, if there is such a thing. And then the following weekend, we'll be at the University of North Dakota, really great 300-meter track. That'll be a big time to release some of our new athletes that joined our team here in January and kind of get their feet wet, so to speak, in that attitude. And then we're going to try to really focus on the 4x4 relay, the 1600-meter relay. Last year, we ended the season season with a 352. It was really incredible. I made the mistake of selling my team short, meaning they went beyond my expectations, and it was incredible for me to see that team come together. We return all four athletes from that program, and we've added in several athletes that could challenge some of those spots. So we're trying to get the 4x4 relay to national championships indoors. We have a few individuals we think we could get there. And then outdoors, that 4x1 relay could be pretty dangerous, as they say. So indoor starts first.
Coach, you talked about earlier, and it's probably true for 90-something percent of track and field individual, but that relay, the baton pass, for a rookie like me who doesn't know a lot about your sport, talk about the importance and how seconds can be won, lost, shaved.
Yeah, well, I'd say if you're thinking of a traditional, like let's say the 4x1 relay, the baton goes 400 meters, but the athletes don't. You're chasing someone down the lane, but you're passing it off. You're extending your arm. You might shorten up the track, so to speak, roughly 9 meters if every athlete was extending their arm forward and back when those passes are. So that's why the baton moves, but the athletes are passing it off sooner. You get an exchange zone. You get to accelerate before you pass the baton. It just makes the thing so much faster. In the 4x4 relay, there's a lot of bumping and grinding. You're not staying in your same lane the whole way through. And so there is exchange passes that could make or break your team, could make or break your season, and it's incredible what you can get out of athletes. That team aspect shows up in relays more than any other event is how I look at it.
Who are your go-tos for the 4x4 and the 4x1?
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess right now I'll stick to indoors. We're thinking we have the distance medley relay as well as the 4x4 relay. And so our returning athletes are on that. Maurice Benon, we call her May, our girl from France. Mm-hmm. She's a senior for us right now. She's a true heart of that program. She's a conference champion in the 600 meter. She's an incredible athlete, great person. Works on campus as an RA and works in admissions. You know, she's a hard worker through and through. We've got Ryan Priggy was on that relay from last year as well. She's run that relay for 4 years. It seems like 6 years. It seems like every year I've been here, she's been on that relay. She finds a way. You know, school record holder in the 1,000 meter, the 800 meter, school record holder in the 1,500 meter, our fastest 6K girl the last few years. You know, pretty incredible. We have Anissa Tucker is a heptathlete for us. This is her 5th year. She's still around, working, battling for one of those spots. And of course, Janice Cole, you know, our girl from St. Paul, and she's been around. She just finished up short of the conference finals last year outdoors. I think that pain is still stinging for all of us. She finished up 9th, almost got into the top 8. So we've got a really strong crew coming back. All four of those are returning, and I think we have 5 or 6 athletes that will be challenging for each one of those spots. So it's going to be really fun this year.
It's going to be incredibly fun, especially, I mean, I look at those players that you're, the runners that you just mentioned. I know the first time I interviewed May, I was like, France, how do you end up in the States?
Junior college product, that's right. Yeah, she came up from Kansas, from Cloud County.
That's incredible.
I had known her coach for a while, and we worked to get Maurice here, or May as we call her, and she's been a blessing for us, absolutely.
And then you get Ryan Priggy from Little Ely, Minnesota.
We got to go hang out with her family this year for our cross-country kind of team pre-camp area. We got to spend the night out on an island out in front of their house in Ely, Minnesota. I can't think of something more Bemidji State than than having a girl from Ely that lives on a lake with an island in front of her house. I mean, pretty special stuff. That's northern Minnesota. That gets the movies going, you know.
And Ely is pretty. It's a beautiful
It's beautiful
part of Minnesota.
Her family's
too,
wonderful.
So. And then you mentioned Janice from St. Paul.
That's right.
You know, I grew up in that area, St. Paul, Minnesota, proud of it. And I love seeing the athletes that come from all over the state of Minnesota.
There's a lot of athletes down in the cities.
Do you like St. Pauli girl apple juice?
No, actually, I don't.
Oh, you don't? Okay,
no,
I got you.
No. He's actually talking about the other stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so you've got a huge, huge roster of athletes.
And it's still growing. There's someone on there that's a secret that hasn't made the roster yet, but they'll be showing up and showing out, and you'll know her name by the end of the year.
That's a tease
sure.
And a half right there, Coach. Wow.
Absolutely. That one's going to have to stay for the next show, and when you guys come back and ask about it, you're going to know exactly what we're talking about.
You see those two big bouncers we have at the door. You sure you don't want to rethink that? You still can't tell us?
The best things in life are worth waiting for.
I got you.
Okay,
understood.
So
exactly
will this be an indoor or outdoor athlete?
Oh, yeah. She'll be ready to go for indoors. We're just trying to make sure everything's in place for to release the hounds, so to speak.
Oh, cool.
Coach,
I can't wait.
Your sport, for the common fan, I think, in America, once we get past college, we think Olympics. Isn't there a nice circuit over in Europe where there's a bunch of fans?
Diamond League's pretty incredible.
Yeah,
and you can kind of win like a league title. So you go week to week, you collect points. Outside of the United States of America, they give track the podium that it needs to be. It's the original sport. It's
right.
The main sport. You know, to be at that level week after week throughout the summer is just incredible.
How ironic and I guess a bit frustrating is it for insider track and field folks like yourself? I would imagine the U.S. contributes the most in many ways to track and field throughout the world, and perhaps per capita we appreciate it the least.
That's probably a strong estimate. It has gotten better, I'll say, in the last few years, and the United States has tried to publicize a track-only league. They helped create a male-female joined relay squads, and now that's an Olympic event, and that, you know, we can. The United
nice.
States has strong sprinters, always has, on the men's and women's side, and so we're working to kind of grow that. I would say, yeah, at the Diamond League level, that European Championship level, there's current collegians that then become pro that are going to go make their money that way. In our American culture, it makes sense. You could go become a professional athlete in hockey or in baseball or football or basketball, and track and field is still that question mark. Can you? Is it possible if you don't do it without these commercials and that sort of thing, the mm-hmm. advertisements? And in Europe, you can make a pretty penny being fast or jumping far or throwing things into the solar system.
Have you had any of your athletes that have gone over there?
I'm trying to think over the last few years because I've worked at other universities before here. I've certainly had a lot of athletes go into the coaching realm, which I think is just as unique, pretty special. Every day on social media, I see an athlete that I've worked with in the past that's moving up, and in some cases, they're competing right at the Division II level against me. And sometimes they have more athletes at Nationals than I do, and I have to look myself in the mirror and say, all right, how can we be better? But to my knowledge, none of the athletes that I've specifically worked with have been at that Olympic level. I've been very close with a few athletes at my previous school, Tiffin University, that almost made it to the Olympic trials level. We had one sprinter, Lamar Hargrove, was the national champion, and he was the collegiate record holder in the 200-meter indoors for a while, and he had made the USA trials.
Wow.
I'm going to make up an athlete here. We'll call him Tim Jones.
Tim Jones sounds fast.
He does sound fast. He's from Kansas City, Missouri.
Yeah.
And he's 17 years old at the moment. He's a dynamic tailback for one of the Catholic powerhouses there.
Mm.
And this kid can scoot as well. And rumor has it, he's just a natural talent on the track field, likes and loves football a lot more. He says, you know, all the adulation and the attention and the bright lights of football. And it's not that track is boring, but I need the fans. How do you sell a guy like that?
Yeah, that's a good question. Are we trying to get him into track only? Is that the plan?
Well, you know, I was going to lead into, I know here at Bemidji State, we do like to do, whether
yeah,
it's like what you and Chelsea
option.
Are doing, or Gunner played baseball as
right,
well.
Yep.
I guess you've got another bullet in your holster to play there at Bemidji State that some other schools wouldn't have.
Well, yeah, and I think that's the... Of course, here we have women's only track and field cross country right now.
Yeah, so hypothetical
using,
here.
Yeah, using right. that example,
right.
Certain sports work well because track and field is purely developmental. It's so individualistic, and you get to work pretty intimately along your coaching staff. There is a continuum where you can always get that much better in any event. A lot of times I'm working with heptathletes, and they may not be a natural hurdler, but we'll learn it. They may be a high jumper learning long jump. You find the commonalities, and you take them to that extreme. And I would say if this hypothetical person was looking at Bemidji for if we had track and football,
right.
The season's can work out well, and you just have to take care of your body
right.
and be aware of what you're asking the body, and that comes down to the coach's knowledge, their background.
I would say go Wikipedia, Willie Gault. Had a pretty good track and field and NFL career, won a Super Bowl with the Bears.
Oh, that's big time.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay, so I mentioned the huge roster. How do you decide who goes to each of the meets? Do you take your whole team?
Yeah, I would say for the most part, with track and field here, if you are certainly eligible, that's important, and if you're healthy your assistant coach, your event coach is preparing you for that race, we'll take you. Certain races are gonna be bigger, sort of invite only. There might be entrance standards at some of these
okay.
larger meets that we'll see outdoors, not many indoors that we see right now, but. There are different races at each meet. So if you're going to basketball, the hoop's the same height, you know, it's the same rim width. You still get five players on the court, you know, all of those things. In track, it's not like that. You might run a 600 one week, and then you have the option of a 300 the other week. Mm-hmm. You might run the distance medley relay. You might be in the 4x4. Even indoors, there could be, you know, you have 60-meter, 60-meter hurdles, right? Two different choices. But each track, it might be, have a unique event, and that's to keep the sport fun and energetic, and you can challenge the athletes in different ways. A lot of the introductory races throughout the year up until the conference championships are training for the much larger, more important races. I always use the example, we can rest our quarterback or our running back whenever we want to make sure they're ready for the big game. Mm-hmm. And so those other races, if you have a long jumper, our top long jumper right now, Elena Hall, has our fastest 60 meter up until this point in the season. If the 200 for that matter, until we, you know, some of these other athletes might challenge her times. If she needs to take a week off from one race, or maybe we're going to try to run the 60 prelim, 60 finals, and run the long jump, that's a full day. And so we're going to use the different tracks and the different weeks of the year to plan for different races. Ultimately, we're training for conference championships, the NSIC championships, and the national championships. That's what we're working for.
Coach, you mentioned how we've livened up the sport with the male-female combo, which is now going Olympics. That's neat. The one that, and I'm more of a team sport guy, it's my background, watching it, not playing it. I was sorry at it. But the one that always catches me is the steeplechase. I could watch that all day
incredible.
Long. Do we have that? I don't think we have it at this level.
We certainly do.
Excuse me.
Our true freshman last year from Alaska, Mary Goodwin, set the school record.
Nice.
First year out doing it. It might have been her fourth race trying it. Our previous distance coach, Coach Mike Lynch, had worked really hard on making that happen for her, and they worked hand in hand for that. So we've got the fastest in history on campus walking around right now.
Is every steeplechase race, or every steeplechase, if that's just what it's called, is it specifics in terms of the water and the...
Yeah, it actually, that part is standardized. That's
okay.
A great question. Maybe at the youth level, they do a 2,000-meter.
Okay.
So it's just a little bit shorter at the collegiate level, the Olympic level. It's the 3,000-meter for men and women. The hurdle height changes, just like the high hurdles would, or the intermediate hurdles for men and women in the other events. But there's basically four large horse hurdles, I call them. They're permanent. You are not moving those hurdles. They're moving you.
The water is my favorite part. That's great.
And then the fifth one, basically, I'm pretty sure it's the fifth. Maybe the sixth. There's the water gap behind it, and I do have a small experience with that. Every once in a while, I'll take a water gap just to know that this old man still got it.
All right, Coach.
That race is for grown adults. You have to really be all in, and you have to be dedicated to your training.
Right.
I mean, it's basically doing a VO2 max test, like an all-out 2 mile, and now there's four or five barriers in your way, plus a water pit. It can get bad real quickly, and it can also be a badge of courage and honor getting through it.
To the novice eye, it seems like the decathlon all at once. A bunch of things, different disciplines.
I always joke that, they should end the men's decathlon with the 3,000-meter steeple. They're already running with the 1,500, so...
Right.
Maybe in a different universe we can get that going.
There you go.
We just built something here in Bemidji.
The Coach Keen Games.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Million-dollar idea.
Yeah.
That's it.
We can get you some
if
sponsors.
If you can find someone to sign up for it.
Phil Knight, are you listening?
Yeah,
that's right. Coach Kevin Keen, the head coach of the BSU Beaver women's indoor and outdoor track and field team and cross-country team. You cover three different seasons, basically.
That's
with
right.
Your coaching.
We're almost in season every day of the year.
It seems like it. It looks like AP's going to hand off the headset.
We got a little pass off here.
Yeah. Before we get to Coach William.
Yes.
You, since you've taken over, and I know you're probably going to be humble when I mention this, your team, you've seen 18 indoor records broke. 13 outdoor records broke, and 3 cross-country program records broke. Do you go into the season going, these are the numbers I want, these are the records I want broken? Do you have that kind of mentality?
For the most part, I think about what is accessible to us that year. And again, last year, I was proven wrong. I set the goal short. This relay just really, really was incredible. The way that they ended our conference championships, we had a conference champion in Zoe Carrasco at the time in the shot put. She made the national championships on the last throw, won it by a centimeter, the Hollywood movie zoomed in type moment. And then to cap that meet off with the 4x4 running 352 is just special. And so that energy carried with me all summer. It helped bring in our assistant coaches, helped bring in new athletes that wanted to be part of that excitement, see what more we could do. But every year I feel like there's a record on that board that I go, I think we've got an athlete that can do that. And it might take a little work, and it might take all 4 months of the fall. But when we go into those meets in December, we get one meet in December, and then we go home from winter break, sometimes those records are going to fall. And if not in December, then we've got till February. If not February, then outdoors. You know, we have all of basically April and a little bit of May to get that done. So I feel like we it's always the records we leave out there. Those are the ones we're shooting for. As soon as one's set, I'm usually thinking, all right, how can we use that current athlete to bring in someone else to then break their record? Because the only thing better than a school record is having the top 10 list. And if we could fill up the top 10 list every single year, well, then, yeah, we're getting better. That's the idea.
That's a good goal to have. We were talking about your newest coaches to your staff. Gerard Williams joins us here from Clemson.
Yes.
Graduated in 2014. Okay, Clemson is a big, big school.
It is.
I mean, Bemidji is a tiny, yeah, tiny school compared to Clemson. How did you end up here?
Well, first off, the main reason I came up here was a good opportunity. Another reason, Coach Keen, our first conversation, you can just feel his passion through the phone, his excitement. And then we got to talking. We shared the same kind of vision throughout the program and where he wants the program to be this year and then for many years to come. So we was kind of on the same page. It was just a match made in heaven, honestly. And then he's just a great guy, great values.
We've been working well together. It's been fun
awesome.
So far.
Yes.
That's it.
That's awesome. For you, you work with the sprinters.
Mm-hmm.
What's kind of going into this season, what's been kind of the – I don't know how to word it, like your goals with each of those, because they're all very different athletes.
Right.
You've got your sprinters that don't do the relays. You got your relay runners. Mm-hmm. How do you kind of coordinate how they all work together?
The biggest thing, one of the goals is to have a foundation, because with anything, if you don't have a stable foundation, it doesn't matter what you build on top of it. Even with the short sprinters, 400, 200, 100, I like to have the range for each one of those, even the 100 top on the 4x4. Because in high school, most sprinters, they only do the 1 and the 2. They don't really focus on the 4x4 or the 400. With me as a coach, I love to coach athletes to have that range. And that comes with a lot with more than on the track. It comes with strengthening up your mind, discipline, accountability, all that stuff. So one of my goals was to teach athletes how to become an athlete. They just want to run fast. But it's so much more that goes into it than running fast. So that was one of my main goals, is to teach them how to be a collegiate athlete, from transition to high school to college. Even if you was already a collegiate athlete, there's still a way that you can be better and improve yourself. So,
well, a lot of it has to do with strength training. It's not just about the speed, but you have to be a strong athlete.
Right.
And the development part is important in the weight room, you're right.
And there's also the mental part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember getting in the blocks before running hurdles when I was in high school, and I'd psych myself out.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to hit that first one. Nope, I'm going to hit the last one.
The negative mindset can creep in the more you think about it. You're right.
The mental part is very important to me. I'm an advocate for it, because I know that is just as important as running. Because you can have the fastest runner, but if they're not mentally tough, it doesn't matter. Like you said, you get in the blocks, you're shaking, you look over to your left and your right, you don't know what's going on. So what I do is every week, we do yoga, we do meditation, we do, I send out motivational videos, and I require the athletes to write a five to seven sentence summary, what they got from the video and how they can apply it to their lives. In the beginning, they look at it as homework, but as we progress, they see that they can use some of that on the track and in their classroom, in their personal lives. So the mental aspect is just as important, if not more, as the actual physical component.
That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
For you, Coach Keen, is that something that you've always stressed as well, or is that something that is new?
I would say parts of that in different ways. Mm-hmm. I think the individual conversation, sometimes my coaching status would be more of, as a situation arises, teachable moment. That's kind of my background as a teacher. with what Coach Fat here has been working on, is getting them to think about that before maybe issues arise, or maybe look back at what issues you're already having and how can we digest that along the way and maybe minimize problems along the way. But yeah, his development program there, they're not just doing it to do it.
Right.
There is now a purpose. I think they may even look forward to it because that is interaction with your coach as well, which is that's special. You know, you go out, you graduate college, you look back, what did I do? I have this degree, awesome. I can go get a future with this degree, but that experience along the way with your girls, you know, your teammates and your coaches, that is cherished. And that's why when we have this Hall of Fame banquet coming up, it's the stories that people are coming back for. It's great to give the award to Coach Hogan and the team that deserves it, but at the same time, it's that experience, you get to relive that, and we get to relive the glory days right now. That's how we got to look at it.
Well, Gerard, they call you Coach Fat.
Coach Fat.
Okay, where'd you get that nickname?
That's a childhood nickname. Most people think, well, was you fat as a kid? No, never was fat or anything like that. It's actually a family name. I'm named after my uncle, so I just kind of inherited that name, and okay. It just stuck. And I was kind of transitioning when I was coach. I was like, do I want to be Coach Williams or Coach Fat? But I stuck with Coach Fat because there's not a lot of Coach Fats, if any, in collegiate.
Yeah, there's a lot of Coach Williams out there.
There's a lot.
And some pretty important ones,
there's
too,
a lot
in the sport of track.
Williams, yeah. So I kind of wanted to separate myself and just to continue building off of Coach Fat. So build my own legacy.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
It's happening right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's in the works.
While at Clemson, what sports did you play? Did you play any college sports?
I played football.
Okay.
I played football. Coming out of high school, I had offers to run track and football, but I mainly focused on football. I went to Virginia Tech first, 2009 to 2011, and ended up transferring back to Clemson. 2011, got my degree. I'm in business management, 2014. Played football there, two-year letterman. And then got into coaching shortly after that.
Wow. Why coaching?
Honestly, I never thought I would be a coach.
It kind of grabs you sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I went back to my old high school, was looking at some of the kids. I was talking to them, and I just fell in love with just coaching them up on the sideline. And then I just got into it because I love helping people. And I love giving back, and I love sports, so it was kind of like a no-brainer. Like, if you love both of those, then why not make it mesh and then make a career out of it?
That is awesome. What a great story. I love those kind of stories where business major, nope, I'm going to coach. I love that. Mm-hmm. I think that's incredible. Everybody wants to find their calling, like, that makes them feel fulfilled.
Right.
There you have it. Mm-hmm. You get to work with BSU Women's Indoor and Outdoor Track and Field.
That's right.
I'm excited.
I still can't believe you're probably the very only person I've ever interviewed from a Clemson grad, former football player, ever on the Beaver Radio Network. Hello.
There you go. First time.
First time for everything.
To be here.
Love it.
Oh, we got some claps.
AP looks like he wants to ask a question. Nope. Okay. Yeah, no, that's pretty cool. Well, coaches, you've got alumni meet coming up.
That's right, next weekend.
And then after that, when's the next really big meet?
The University of North Dakota will be that following weekend. I think it's the 29th of January.
Okay. I
have to check that date again. But it's a really great 300-meter track over there in Grand Forks. I think it's the fastest indoor 300 in the country, and I tell people that with pride. They have a new coaching staff over there. Coach Varenkamp has D2 roots. He was at Augustana and has bounced around the country. He did a tremendous job at Queens University in North Carolina, and now he's kind of back to his D2 roots a little further north. He'll take that program where it needs to be, and we're happy to be able to compete against them. And we'll be up there twice this year. So we've got, after the alumni meet with the Hall of Fame weekend coming up, we'll go University of North Dakota. Then we'll be sort of next door at North Dakota State the weekend after that. And then we'll be down at Minnesota State Mankato where the NSIC championships will be. So we'll get to see that on the 12th weekend. We'll be back up University of North Dakota. And then the conference championships will be at Mankato, and that's where the dust will settle. And that's our last chance to qualify for the indoor national championships. We'll be in early March down in Pittsburgh, Kansas.
Wow.
And that was the, you know, I remember we had Venice Stewart was there in the 200 a few years ago. And so we've certainly been to that area before. After the indoor championships, we'll see what happens. But we've got our eyes set on some pretty important goals between now and then. It seems short when you just count out those weeks like that. But we've been training for this, in all honesty, since September. The first week of school, we had athletes out there. Maybe the fourth day of classes, we're out there training. And so all of this is coming to fruition. We can see it happening.
Oh, I have a feeling that there's going to be great things coming out of this indoor season for track and field. So, Coach Fett,
yes.
Coach Keen, thanks for joining us here tonight.
Thank you for having
me. We're happy to be
welcome.
Here. Yeah, thanks for letting us be part of this.
And we will have you on again. We want to find out more about that other athlete you keep teasing us about.
You have to stay tuned.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. Beaver women's track and field in action coming up. And we've got a busy 8-game weekend on the Beaver Radio Network for those folks that are looking for some hockey and basketball. The Beaver men's hockey team already on the way to Bowling Green. They will take on the Falcons. 5:30 pregame coverage brought to you by Budweiser on Friday and Saturday, 6:07 with the faceoff. Beaver women's hockey in action, as we heard from their coaches earlier in our show. And they will be taking on the Bulldogs this weekend on the road. So all of our teams on the road. The Beaver women's hockey team, 2:30 Budweiser pregame show Friday and Saturday, 3:01 with the opening faceoff. And then Beaver men's and women's basketball will be in action. The Beaver men's basketball game on Friday, however, was postponed due to COVID on the other team. So Beaver women will be in action. Beaver on Friday night, Beaver women or men's and women's on Saturday. We'll have all those games, a 7-game weekend now on the Beaver Radio Network. We call it a night here. Thanks to all the coaches for joining us. Thanks to you for joining us here. And, of course, always thank you to the Tavern on South Shore for having us here for the Tom Ceratori Show. And, of course, AP, I think I got you on.
You know, it's a distinct honor to talk with these coaches. As Coach Keen said, it is the ultimate oldest sport, and it's just a raw challenge. You know, women's here, but men's and women's throughout the country. It's I'm faster than you. I can jump higher than you. I can throw something farther than you. It's really visceral in its nature, and you love that. It's the ultimate athletic challenge.
It absolutely is, and it was the only sport I was actually good at in high school. So, I was a sprinter.
All right.
And a hurdler.
There you go.
For 6 years.
You go, girl.
So I played soccer. It was awful.
It took you 6 years to get through high school?
No. Junior high.
Oh, excuse me. Okay, junior high and high school. Yeah, I got you. I didn't know if that was the extended Minnesota St. Paul plan or something.
No. Okay, all right. My dream was to go to Drake University and run.
All right.
Which is like one of the best in the region.
Is that in Nebraska? Drake?
Iowa,
excuse me. Yeah, the Drake Relays.
And unfortunately,
it's in Des Moines, right?
I believe so.
Okay.
Or
as we call it down in Georgia, Des Moines.
Des Moines. I like Illinois.
Yeah, right, exactly. Illinois is a lot of us, right?
I did not have the grades to get into Drake, sadly.
All right.
That's all good. It all worked out. But, track and field has always been my one love. I was a huge fan of FloJo and... back in the Olympics.
That was the lady with the nails that were...
Oh, I loved that. Yeah, it was cool.
She had some swag before swag was a thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, big track and field girl here. So, well, we're going to call it a night here from the Tavern. Thanks to everybody for joining us. Thanks, AP, for helping me hold down the fort while Schultze and Biss are both gone.
It's a lot of fun. You know, Schultze thinks he's Mr. Heads up with all this. You set up the equipment. You didn't need any help from Schultze is what I hear.
I did text him once.
I texted him once. Okay, all right.
So, again, thank you, AP.
And a lot of fun.
We will be back next Wednesday. I don't even know who our guests are
and
yet.
And the Beavs are going 8-0 collectively this weekend.
7-0.
That's right, yeah, because they COVID-ed out. Yeah, can't go for the two. It's just a kick the extra point. 7-0.
So you're making the trip with Beaver men's and women's basketball. Where are they headed this weekend?
They're headed to Mankato.
Okay.
And then we're heading to your old stomping grounds, Concordia St. Paul.
Yeah. St. Paul is my old stomping grounds.
Well, I'm saying it's in the same city. Yeah. I might have some virgin apple juice down there in your honor.
Okay.
Shirley Temple apple
Shirley
juice.
Temples.
Yeah.
All right. We will be back next Wednesday. The Tom Ceratori Show will return. The Coach's Huddle right here at the Tavern. Thanks to their great staff for having us as well. Have a great night, everyone. We'll see you later.
WMIS-FM, The River, 92.1, Black Duck Bemidji.
I still can't even hardly believe my ears when you even tell me this.
Translator K237FJ, 95.3, Thief River Falls, and W300BP, 107.9, Grand Rapids.
Now this I love.
Northern Minnesota's Rock Station.